This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Republic of Texas Radio. Today's date is Sunday, August the 1st, 2021. Sunday. It's the hot August nights edition, the daytime morning. Whatever. Alan and I were talking last week, and we came to a conclusion for today's show that, man, we just don't want to talk about a lot of things. Right, it's not that they're not important, it's just we want to go somewhere else. And so we decided early on in the week that we were going to do a specific show kind of talking about, well, what's the right word? Alan, are you there?
I would say getting back in communication with nature and the natural world, and the way the uncivilized animals on this planet still lived, and how they are still, they've got their natural honesty to them.
Yeah, that sounds a little woo-woo that you're talking about, all green, crunchy, too. But it's true. You know, it's good enough definition. I was trying to find a word, you know, like beings or people. Well, people. You know, you can't use human.
How about this? Once again, I'm starting the morning with a frontal lab atop of me.
Ah, and how do you define a frontal lab atop of me?
My young female Labrador, who hopefully we will have puppies sometimes in the next while here. That is my lab atop of me. That's where I start a lot of my mornings. Makes me feel good.
You like a particular style of canine unit? What do they call them? Dogs? You know, how many labs have you had now? Is this that's like the fourth lab, third lab?
Number four, yes.
Four. Why did you start doing Labradors, by the way? I don't think I've ever asked you that.
Because I was outdoors and, loved the outdoors my whole life. But when I was growing up, you know, all we had was this little terrier cross, you know, rescue dog from the, she was deaf, couldn't hear anything. So I couldn't take her out, you know, in the woods with me or anything. So when I got old enough and stable enough, I started getting Labrador retrievers because I loved to duck hunt for one thing and dove hunt. And I needed a retriever. When you get that bond with your dog, they know what you want and you know what they're going to do. Man, it's such a helpful situation. I mean, it's not just going out and shooting things. It's actually going out and working with your dog and enjoying the camaraderie that you have, you know, the communication that you have with them. It's in Labrador, for me, the temperament, they shed. Yes, there's hair all over my place out here. But, you know, I live with that because of the temperament of a general trend in the breed. just loving animals. You know, they're not aggressive. They will defend, but they're not aggressive. They won't just go out and kill and shred because they've got the jaw power to do it. You know, if they're doing it, they're doing it for a purpose most of the time because they're very loyal. And that's what I like about them. They are a very loyal breed.
Loyal breed. Yeah, my parents, you know, they got us a dog when I was really young. There was a movie that came out. It was called Digby, and I can't remember the movie, but then that's what we named our dog. And so I went through life. My parents would buy get, and usually it's get, right? People said, well, I can't have this dog, and my parents would be all, okay, well, we'll be responsible for him, you know, come on. And us kids got to learn how to take care of, animals, dogs, how nice they are, how rambunctious they can be. It was a long ride, you know, growing up with puppies, dogs, and so forth. We had Skippy one time, and Skippy was a schizoid. I think he was a golden retriever. He was just way too, you know, crazy. I guess a Labrador and a retriever, they're kind of close, aren't they, Alan?
Well, and once again, Steve, you know, it's like children nowadays and children back when I was a child. You know, you get something, and you have to live within bounds. We all have to live within some type of bounds. You know, you get a dog, it has to live, you know, in the world that you want, that you can create for it, you know, because we're not just running around out in the woods anymore.
Yeah.
So, yes, mm-hmm. there have to be certain limits, and in today's world, a lot of people, like they do their children, they don't establish bounds and consequences for actions, you know. I've never had a female. My other labs have all been males, you know, and I guess I don't know if there's been that male bond, whatever you want to call it there, but there is a different temperament in them. And when I got this little gal here, she apparently had no instruction, really very little human contact. I hate to say she came from a high class puppy mill, but apparently that's what it was.
But it kind
and
of
she,
was
and she just
like
ran
that.
Wild.
Yeah.
And literally, folks, I had to break a couple of 2x4s over her to get her to stop killing chickens, et cetera, to establish bounds. I couldn't do it by just saying, no, 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 that's not the way we act. That doesn't work. You know, there had to be a definite signal. And since I can't talk lab and she can't talk human, it had to come in a physical form. Yes, I hated doing it. But, you know, people used to paddle their children, too. And it's like when, you know, when my dad's, you know, eyebrow went up and the belt started coming off, I pretty much knew what was coming. And I'm not going to do that again, or at least get caught doing it again, you know. You start learning bounds and consequences for what you do. And it's just, we all have to live within some kind of structure.
Yeah, different.
You know.
Okay. You know, different... different types of dogs have different types of temperaments. I was talking about my Labrador Retriever. It wasn't really mine, I guess. It was the family's. And we ended up having to let the dog go. Somebody else ended up with him. I really don't know the end of that story. I was a kid. But Skippy, you know, what didn't belong, you know, in suburbia, right? Didn't belong in a garage filled with stuff, being bored. Right, part of the day,
and
that was,
and, you know,
just not
and,
what he
and
was
in suburbia
for.
Where you're not trying to raise chickens or anything like that, or if they happen to run off and, you know, stray too far, you know, they might end up meeting up with a 300-pound boar out here and getting shredded, you know. So
yeah,
you've got to teach them to stay with, you know, live. If you know, you're trying to keep them safe, if anything, and also keep your. I was trying to keep my means of food production, you know, staying alive. You know, she was killing my chickens. She wasn't killing them and shredding them just for the joy of killing.
Sure.
She was playing to death, you know?
Sure. You know, in suburbia, and I'll just, I guess we're going to bounce back and forth between, you know, rural living in suburbia for a little bit at least. You know, we had pets. If you call them pets, I don't really like to call them pets. There's other beings, you know, cats and dogs all my life. And right now I currently have 2 cats, and they serve a purpose, but I live in the rural society. I don't have a dog. You know, I don't own property that I could actually have a dog with, and if so, then yes, maybe I consider the thought. I get so frustrated at other people that make these decisions. Oh, I'm going to get a dog, and then they come out and they get a little teeny tiny thing. Right, and they call that a dog, and it looks more like a hamster, right? You're like a
glorified rat, yeah.
And that's fine, you know, you like that, but let's not call it a dog. It's a little not sure, and that's fine. And I don't want to diss on it but the irresponsible nature. I don't care what kind of animal you got, but when you do things like I have a customer last week, and just my heartstrings just like failed on me because they brought their a lab / pincher mix type thing, right, a Doberman pincher, and they have it sequestered in a veterinary hospital and at the vet for 2 months now. It's been staying at the vet because they're selling their house and they have nowhere for the dog to go. And they were telling me, well, hey, do you want a dog? This and that. And, you know, she's over at the vet. And we don't have a place for her because, you know, the husband's having medical problems and they're selling their house. And so this dog, and I'm like, wow. And then she goes on to tell me that, you know, her son actually got the dog, and then he moved to a place where he couldn't have dogs, so he brought the dog. So all of a sudden I'm like, damn, guy did a typical kid thing, right? Get a dog. Oh, isn't this great, honey? Oh, I love my dog. Let's move. Okay. Hey, mom, here's the dog. Mom, what? Oh, okay. And now all of a sudden the dog's in jail, right?
And, I'm going, and what you're
that
saying
is so inhumane. It's bad, and we complain about it all the time. But
what you're saying is the same thing. I mean, you know, to like you said, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a little rat tweeny or whatever, you know, which is fine for some people if that's, you know, your lifestyle. You know, for me, I've got bigger animals, but still, it's basically like getting a child. I mean, you know, you've got to understand. They all do have their feelings. You know, what does that dog feel like? You know, not being around the people that it grew up with, that it loved, its family. All of a sudden now it's sequestered basically in prison and has no idea why it's there, which I imagine a lot of people in prison feel like. But, but you know, I mean, what's going to happen when the time comes, Steve, that this happens if you have a child and you can't live where you used to live and your new place doesn't allow children? Are you going to stick your child in a, take it to a vet and put it in a cage and just have someone come out and feed it? You know, because basically that's what you're doing. You know, in today's world, and yes, I was guilty of it at times because I was young and stupid and never really taught the value or of an animal. You know, and I've hunted my whole life. Yes, I've killed lots of things, folks, but I never just went out to slaughter. You know, if I shot something, generally I took it home and we ate it. You know, it wasn't just a mindless slaughter like the people that come out around here and pay $50,000 to shoot the record enclosure buck for the year. You know, these people had a 240-acre plot that they'd high fenced, and they stuffed these deer full of protein, and they got the biggest rack they could. And this guy came out and paid $50,000 to sit in a box and shoot the deer when it came up to eat the corn that it was fed every day. You know, that's not a hunter, folks. That's just a shooter. That's just someone shooting, you know, going out and shooting for a rack, for a record, to be the proudest oneest and shoot the biggest deerest that, you know, in the countryest at that timeest, you know. That's just wrong. You know, that's not hunting. That's just shooting. So I've killed lots of things, and I grew up hunting and fishing, yes. But, you know, the higher you go in the food chain, the more intelligence and the more, you know, kinship you have, you know, with the animals. They do think. They have feelings. They dream. You know, if an animal dreams, it's pretty much got cognizant thought. You know, it can think, it can remember, it can know things. You know, it thinks in its own way, on its own level. And you know, I've had everything from I've had everything as pets, from black widow spiders that, you know, we'd have in a jar and we'd throw a red wasp in with it and watch them fight, to, you know, frogs and turtles and snakes. You know, I've had possums. Didn't ever have a raccoon, but, you know, my skunk I had for a pet, had Odie for like 6 years, was a great pet, you know. A skunk purrs like a cat does. Odie would lay on my shoulder, and I'd scratch him between the shoulder blades, and he'd lay there and purr for like 2 hours. I mean, you know, purr just like a cat. Was a great pet. I had him descended, so he wasn't really stinky. By the time he started squirting a little bit, I figured he was already kind of part of the family. I found him when he was a real little bitty thing. Same thing with my fox. I had my fox for 8 years. Rommel, you know, the desert fox. I asked my brother, why, right, what to name him? He said, well, name him Rommel. You know, the desert fox. We were almost military, kind of military kids. One of the greatest, funnest, most interesting pets I ever had. I see a fox now. I'm trying to raise chickens. I've got to shoot them. You know, it's nothing personal, but
nothing,
you know,
just
but they do. They think, they feel, they have their own family structures. Like my rabbits, first rabbit I got from Steve. His name was Pookie. Man, he was fun. I had Pookie for like 6 years, I think, before a fox or something finally got him. And watching him and the rest of the rabbits that I had, watching their social structures they built, I mean, it was amazing and just hilarious and just fun. I could go sit out in the evening out here, and all of a sudden all these rabbits would come running up to me, and I'd hand them little bits of carrots or apples or something like that. And for me, it was peaceful and calming. You know, it's animals can do great for your psyche.
They can, but they're useful in other different ways too. And I think the psyche's part has gotten a little bit crazy in our society today, right? You know, so there's the support pony that can't get on the plane anymore because this lady has a pony that, you know, it's her support pony and she can't. And you're like, what? You need a support pony? Now, I understand you have a friend that is a horse and that's, you know, just fine. But, you know, should we bend our society to deal with your support pony? I don't know. You know, the guy over in Kerrville, he has, well, it's not real. He's a DJ and he has a support dolphin, Squinchy, right? And he tries to make fun of all that stuff. And I get it. It's kind of crazy. I wonder about a lot of people with pets and animals, and I understand some of it as they walk through the grocery store or something or other that just feels unnatural to be having, you know, your little pet with you walking around.
I've seen today's world, Steve, for a vast majority of people, a pet, they see it as an accessory. It's like a purse. You know, like you said, you see the women in the, you know,
it's
with the little
purse.
Chihuahua stuffed in their purse or something.
Uh-huh.
It's like an accessory. It's like, oh, well, it's just a different purse that I like to take to the store with me, you know?
Well, I have to take it to the shop and get maintenance done. What are they going to do? They're going to fill it up with a bunch of stuff, right? Squirt, 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 cut their nails, you know, wash them, you know, okay. Dog maintenance. Yeah, there's a lot of dog maintainers around here, dog trainers. Because people want to pay for that, I guess, at least. And that might be me being judgmental, right, and say that you don't even know animals, right? I feel like I've had a lot of animals under my belt, and I do pretty good with all of them. The things I lean to, of course, I'm a prepper, right, at least by nature lately, since, 2007, 2006, Yeah, that's a really good story to segue. Well, I don't know if we're going to segue. We're going to stay on this same topic. If you guys want to call in, feel free. Was it 512-248? What's the last four on that?
8252.
Thanks, Sam and Alan. Or you can call in at the toll-free number 1-800-313-9443, but please don't if you have unlimited minutes. Back in 2006, I got, fed up with California, and I was living in San Francisco, and it was just time. It was time to get out. I saw the winds, and I said, we got to go, right? It's time to leave. And so I set out for Montana, didn't make it to Montana. I mean, I've told you guys the story quite a bit, but I made it to Texas. But along the way, I decided that, well, we decided that we were going to change the way that we were going to live, and we were going to go ahead and do the homestead thing, make our own power, raise animals, do gardening. And I was already a gardener, you know, to a certain extent. But animal husbandry was not anything I could do anything more than say the word husbandry and go, what the hell does that mean? But what it means is being able to raise them from the beginning to the end and make all the decisions. But I started in like 2007. Yeah, 2007, raising chickens. And I'm like, wow, I'm going to raise chickens. And you get a little light bulb and you electrocute them. Now you heat lamp these chicks. And you try to keep them alive, right? That's your first thing. You got to have water, and you got to have food. And you're like, okay, so I'm going to raise these things called chickens, or they're chicks at the time. And, hang on, folks. We'll be right back. This is Republic of Texas Radio. the Animal Edition.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right. We're back. Hey, we're Republic of Texas Radio. We're talking about animals. And it's weird to call pets food, animals, humans. Are we humans? Okay, I use the word less than men. What a pain in the butt communicating is, for me at least. You know, maybe you guys are having a better time with it. I was telling you about raising my first batch of chickens, right, or chicks. And it was great, fascinating for me, right? I thought I knew a lot of stuff, didn't know anything, really. You know, I watched the chickens, the little chicks, drown the other chicks, eat the other chicks. Oh, my God, the chicks will eat each other. And that was very interesting. And if you wanted to save the chick, then you can separate them from the other party. And, you know, so you got your 20 chicks over here. And let's take the one out that's being picked on, put it over here, and give the one exactly the same amount of attention as the two. Now I doubled my work for one. Like, wow, okay, that algorithm kind of sucks, right? Because I could have 40 chicks, right? And I'm spending all this effort on one. Well, what do you do?
And that's that survival of the fittest thing coming in, Steve. You know, in nature, you know, like you said, you know, if one, you know, and people that grow chickens know this very well, you know, if a chick gets a little spot on it, man, the others will just peck and kill it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's survival of the fittest. It's just the survival instinct. You know, if one of them's injured, you know, it's kind of a detriment to the rest of the flock. So they will kill it and they'll eat it.
Yeah. And initially I started raising chickens for the eggs, right? Knowing that all along that at some point I'm going to need to master the art of eating the things that I grow, right? And I learned an awful lot from companies like Walmart and, well, HEB, right? And how I deal with my livestock and, you know, we call, you know, some, you are associates. And that's the majority of my chickens. And well,
Steve,
this
Steve,
one
how
here
long
is
it,
a partner, right?
Long,
so we don't eat partners.
You, Steve, how long did it take you to figure out that that your free-range chicken eggs were so much better tasting than those pale yellow pieces of crap you buy from the Tyson Chicken Store?
Yeah, well, it didn't take long at all because you can just—I mean, they seem to—they still are, right? You know, I don't care which chicken egg which that you buy from the grocer right now. It's like these ones are fed this and grown here, and I can still go down to most of my neighbors that are actually selling eggs and get real eggs, right, that actually have taste. They don't just look like an egg. So that's one of the big reasons to grow chickens. But they seem all around now. Tom out in Utah, he hates chickens, right? You know, well, I don't know. I can't put those
you know
words
who I miss,
in Tom's
Steve,
word.
I miss Jerry in Texas calling. You know, every time Jerry called, you know, there'd be chickens, roosters crowing in the background, and you know,
goats
bleeding and everything. I miss Jerry's calls.
Yeah, I hope he's well. Have you heard him call any other shows recently?
I haven't. He dropped off, I guess. Everyone complained about the animal noises in the background. I was like, man, I thought that was freaking great.
That was the best part about it. Yeah. Well, let's use a fill-in then. Pat in Texas. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm fine.
You got chickens?
Y'all are making... No, but my son does, and I hear all about his girls all the time.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
He doesn't have a rooster. He don't have a rooster. But I was going to tell you about a movie that she just watched on his cell phone. I guess that's what I did. And it's called A Street Cat Named Bob. And
named what?
Bob, B-O-B.
Okay.
It's a cat.
All right.
And I am fascinated by how they make movies. And that is, I told my son, who's a Hollywood expert, I said, how could they train a cat to do so much like that? He said, you'd be surprised what they can do with cats. They'll have four or five of them, you know, because, you know, one's not. Oh, anyway, I just recommend it. It's British, but I think everybody on our being used to that accent. And he helped the guy get off of drugs, and it was a real story, True story,
Pat,
I mean.
You know, Pat, on that line, Pat, you know, I will admit, you know, that in the animal world, there are certain animals that, I mean, there are the, I hate to use this phrase, but what everyone knows, there are the Albert Einsteins of the animal world, you know, the ones who are just brilliant, that can learn. I had a lab that was smarter than some of my friends, I swear to God, you know, his name was Coot, and I had him for 8 years. That dog changed my life. Okay, he taught me what real friendship was and how smart an animal can be, you know, and not just every animal, but you know, there are certain ones that are just smart. My last dog that I had, BB, who I had for 13 years, died in my arms. Coot died in my arms. BB died in my arms. For 13 years, BB was the best friend. I couldn't have been more proud of a son if I had birthed him from my own genes. You know, I could not have been happier and more proud and had a better friend than what my dog BB was. He was not the smartest thing out there, but man, you're talking about BB told me what life was. Coot changed my life. BB was my life. And hang on,
here in Fort Worth.
Yeah, that's the music, Pat. Hold on, Republic of Texas Radio. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
All right, we're back. Hey, we got Pat in Texas on the line. We're talking about animals and so forth. And I'd like to yank you back to the beginning of the call, Pat. You know, you were talking about your son has chickens. And I know a lot of RBN listeners have chickens. And I don't remember what Art has out in Georgia. I don't know. Does Art? I don't know. Maybe we'll hear from Art. Anyways, what else you got for us, Pat?
Oh, and in Fort Worth, the homeless, they allow the homeless to have a pet. And they'll take care of the pet. And I know a homeless guy, and his dog got one of those big lab types. You know, it was a service dog and a veteran, and I said, why don't you let Fort Worth handle the problem? They said she had heartworms. And he said, oh, they'd probably just kill her. No, they like the homeless to have animals. It gives them a sense of responsibility for somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't heard any bad stories about
that. I'm kind of... you know,
what it is, Pat, it's the love and the honesty you get from an animal when you have a bond with an animal, because they still live in the natural world. When they bond,
I know, create a real bond with them.
I have problems letting them take over, you know.
And I see people let them take over their life, and I said, come on, you're not going to get by with that dog biting people like that all the time. You get by with it biting me, you know. I don't know.
Once again, you know, there are certain restrictions that we have to live in. You know, if you're going to live with someone else, you know, around other people, you can't have your dog, you know, that is your best friend, you know, biting people just because that they're there. You know, that's, Alan,
the funny one that I got. You know, I go to lots of different people's houses, and I deal with lots of dogs that are barking and dogs that are doing whatever, right? The funny ones, and they're also the scary ones, are the little teeny tiny chihuahuas, right, that run up to you and bite you. While their owner is telling you, oh, don't be afraid. No, he doesn't bite. Oh, that was just a nip. You're like, I'm telling you, man, your dog just attacked me. And that's blood, right? You know, that's not good. Oh, but he doesn't bite. What was that? Right? You know, and it's like that has happened more than once to me.
Yeah.
You know, probably around four times, maybe five times. But that's here in Texas. And it's always chihuahuas. Right, you know, they were designed to be little nippy.
When you turn your back on them is when they bite you. They bite you on the back of the leg. They don't bite you when you're facing them. It's when you turn away from them.
It's a training.
I'm laughing, thinking of stories. I know, I've seen all those stories.
Yeah, I don't know. All I can tell you is that
my dogs, my animals, it's like I take them out to play. When I go to work somewhere, my dogs go with me. And people say, they won't bite me, William. And it's like, no, sir. It's like, I wouldn't have my dog out here if it would bite you, you know. It's like, well, I've been around dogs. And it's like I said, I know. It's like when you turn away from them, they'll bite you on the back of the leg or back of the ankle or whatever. And I've had people that have been around dogs like that. And when I turn away from them, I get along great with most animals. I love animals. They know. They get a sense of me. But there are those that are just little, I'm sorry, crap heads, I will say it nicely. And when you turn away from them, they'll run up and I'll tell people, it's like, if you don't get your dog out of here, if it's next time it turns and it nips me, like you say, oh, it's just a nip. It's like, no, I'm going to punt it across the goddamn the GD room.
Well, okay? I was
get
saying,
your, either so, get your dog away from me or I'm leaving.
I was at her house and the dog is going to bite me there. So I saw a big dog butcher knife there with a big old heavy wooden handle on it, and I picked it up and I turned around and I just beat that little old dog with a handle of that butcher knife. Well, and he acted like, okay, you win, and now he comes around and he thinks about it, but he doesn't bite me.
Yeah, well, they've got to learn.
I don't know if she's going to kill him or what.
Yeah, they've got, it's like children in today's world, they don't learn consequences for their actions, so they go around and they're thinking they can do whatever they want to anyone that they encounter, and there will be no consequences. And it's the same way in the animal world.
That's my problem with people.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, and also too, this guy, he spent hundreds of dollars and two vets getting rid of the heartworms in the dog, and the dog actually died of heartworms.
Yeah.
So
because they don't really care. They don't really care, Pat. They go in and they say, "Oh, well, if you give them this pharmaceutical drug, it'll get rid of the heartworms." And that's when I had a dog, and my Coot, in fact, and I took him into the vet. And because I knew he was feeling bad in this, and I said, give him a complete total checkup. They said, oh, well, we looked at him. He's just getting old. They told me he's just getting old. Well, that's why his breath stinks, and his gums are black, and his teeth are rotting. And when he died in my arms, I could feel the tumor inside of him. They didn't check him over. They just thought he was an accessory for me and not a real part of me, a part of my family, you know. And that's when I started looking into the medical field and started thinking and relating the same thing to what they're doing to people. And I was like, I don't trust anyone that calls themselves a vet or a doctor anymore. I rely on my own instinct, you know, to try to make things right. Because if you rely on someone else for your health or your best friend or your family member's health, you're screwed, folks. I'm telling you. Rely
you
on yourself and do as good as you can.
You have to know how to feed them. You have to know how to feed them and
what to feed them and all that. And how to treat them and how not to treat them. You know, I don't know.
F-E-E-D. Feed them.
Yeah, F-E-E-D, talking food for animals, yes. But one of the big questions is, what do you feed them? Right? Okay, so you've got this bag of food and this bag of food and this. No. You got to make your own food, right? And you're, really? So, okay, let me grab these.
It's like Joyce Riley. I miss Joyce because Joyce loved her animals, and she would come on.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing Joyce come on and talk about the melamine that was in all this pet food, and hundreds of thousands of pets that they killed with this melamine that they put into the pet food.
They taught us to tell people don't use that stuff anymore. Really? Oh gosh, it's so much ignorance. I mean, why it's good to talk to each other, you know.
I don't have that access anymore, so I am very careful with what I feed my animals.
My son, he went on the internet and he found out he could make a few foods out of vegetables, and the dog actually got so happy, he just standing on it while he's cooking it. And he said, I intend for this here little old Jack, whatever they are, to live till he's 18 years old. And I believe he's
Jack Russell Terrier, probably.
Jack Russell's, Jack Russell Terriers are a pretty good little breed. They're sassy little things, but they're real intelligent. I can tell you that for the most part. You know, there are bad things in everything.
I talked to him, and he licked the phone. He remembers me good. All right, I'll let you go. I just thought I'd go by.
All right.
Well, you know, food, Steve, it's kind of like, you know, my dear, Steve, you know my dear Nebby, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I've had her for, 9 years now, you know, and she still comes up, and she'll come in the house, and she'll chase my dog and stomp my dog, you know? Especially when they drop their fawns, you know, because they see a dog as a predator. But I try to teach her, you know, I've had her for 9 years, and I've got chickens, and I was feeding my chickens in my chicken house, you know, had the feeder in the chicken house, you know, and she was and I was wondering, it's like, man, why am I going through so much chicken feed? It's like, the chickens can't be eating that much. I have 80-pound chickens if they're eating that much. Well, I finally looked at her one time, and she was coming out, and she was crawling, getting down on her knees and scrunching and crawling into the chicken house and eating out of the chicken feeder. And I had to shoot her in the ass with a pellet gun to stop her from doing that.
Yeah, Nebby, she's something else. The other day I got out of the car, and my son walks over to a deer that's sitting on somebody's lawn, and that's Fredericksburg for you folks. It's weird, we've got the suburbs of Fredericksburg, really call that suburbs, I don't know, but and there's deer sitting on their lawn, and he's all, hey, and he goes over to try to pet it. I'm like, that's not Nebby, right? You know, it doesn't have a pink collar, that's not Nebby. And he walks over to pet the deer, and it runs away. And I go, yeah, deer don't like people, right? They'll tolerate them, you know, to a certain extent. But Nebby, we got Nebby, was 9 years old, 9 years ago, found Nebby in the field. And that wasn't the first one, you know, you found that little black buck. We found her. The year
frozen,
right?
Just about dead, frozen out here. Yeah.
Yeah, and so we brought her into the house, and she was over at the house for a week, right? I think she was there for a week, and the temperatures changed and whatnot, and we saw the whole pack. They were out in front, and, you know, I remember lamenting with you, you know, what we do with that the little baby black buck. Do we let her go? No, because they're not going to necessarily accept her back into the herd. Right,
she was old enough that she wouldn't really become, you know, she wouldn't accept me as mom or anything. It was too old at that point, you know. We fed it a little bit and kept it alive, but when we put it back outside, and I was sitting here watching when her mom came back up and found her again, and her mom came up, oh daughter, baby, you know, and it's like. came back up and hit her and smelled the human smell on her, and she goes, "Ew, you're not my daughter." And that little baby black buck died because her mom wouldn't feed her anymore because of our smell on her. Yeah, that's nature, though, you know.
Yeah, totally. But then, you know, we found Nebby freezing to death, and and all of a sudden, 9 years later, we're you got a deer that walks into your house and attacks your chicken.
She's still running around, and all the neighbors know that don't shoot the deer with the orange collar if she comes onto your property. You know?
Yeah, it's great. She's had a good life. She's like the queen. She can walk up and talk.
And you know, her whole family out here, you know, I've got, you know, 10, 12 deer that are her, you know, her kids and everything else, you know, that are out around here. But, you know, folks, if it comes down to it and there ain't no food in the grocery stores, I've got a readily accessible, you know, source of venison around here. You know, if it came down to it, I probably couldn't shoot one with the orange collar on because, you know, I do go up and scratch and rub on her. You know, every year when she's pregnant, she comes up here and she's just miserable and, got bugs crawling on her. And I'll go out and I'll dust her with diatomaceous earth and everything. And she's just like, "Oh, thank you, Dad. Oh, thank you. I feel so miserable." You know, she's
I'm
just
going to the
just
spa.
Huge and about
Alan?
To pop.
That's great. Hey, Art in Georgia's on the line. Maybe we can figure out if he has chickens. Hey, Art, are you there?
Yeah, buddy, what's up?
You got chickens? No?
I got chickens. I got chickens.
Okay.
I got buddy.
There you go.
I got chickens and rabbits.
Okay. You got chickens and rabbits. Are you, what are you doing with the rabbits? Do you eat them?
The chickens are strictly for eggs. I mean, as they once they get too old to lay. Of course, once the chicken hits about a year, year and a half old, they start laying off. So, you know, that's when you want your baby chickens coming in to replace your adult chickens. And if you have your adults turning two when your babies turn one, that's a good turnover rate right there. Keep them about a year apart. And that way you always have a good steady flow of eggs. And every once in a while you get to eat your chicken. But the rabbits are what I raise for meat because rabbits take less space, a lot less work. And one buck and two doe can produce up to as much as 200 to 300 pounds of meat per year. And we're talking a meat that is higher in the protein than chickens is. It's the same kind of protein. It's just a much higher content of protein in rabbit than there is in chicken. So you want that
protein. Steve had a special type of chickens. Steve raised suspension chickens.
What chicken?
He raised. They had them in cages that were off the ground. They were hanging in cages.
Yeah.
But then his bucks. They would. He could let his bucks go, and the bucks would run around. Actually, one of your bucks actually jumped up and bit you on the leg one time, didn't it, Steve?
Yeah, I found out that Monty Python sketch is actually real because they were suspension chickens. True. They, you know, all the cages are up and they're next to each other. And I had, 50 or so, 50 cages or something like that. I had a lot of them.
Oh,
and
no.
So we were going through that process.
Those are unhealthy birds.
They were perfectly healthy. They were perfectly
healthy.
Here's
what people don't get.
Go ahead.
Here's what people don't get. Yeah, you can keep your animals in a cage. You can. You can keep your animals in a cage. But really, that is not the healthiest way to raise animals. If you really want your animals to be healthy, they need to be on the ground.
I agree with that. Yeah, I do agree with that. But the thing is, even with rabbits, food for rabbits is hard. You know, you threw out numbers about, you know, rabbit meat and producing that. And I've never found a really good source, except there is this one grass that grows native around here. What was it called, Alan? We discussed that.
Hairy vetch.
Hairy vetch.
Hairy vetch.
Right.
Yep.
And hairy vetch is good for the rabbits, but cultivating your grass to feed your chickens. Your rabbits. Otherwise, you're buying pellets all the time.
No.
And now, what do you do?
I just walk out in the field and I just start. I take a pair of scissors and a big old box. I just walk out in the field and I start cutting a whole wide variety of all different kinds of greens and plants and grasses and flowers and things like that. And I just feed them right straight out of the fields.
Okay.
And they eat it.
There's probably something kind of close to that, like with rabbits. You know, I my rabbits were for entertainment and just being able to go out there and sit amongst them and enjoy them. But I think rabbits are probably like chickens. I think probably everything on this planet eats chicken. I've never seen a hummingbird attack or eat a dead chicken, but I know when I saw my deer and her family out there snacking on a dead chicken I had staked out here to catch the coons that were killing them, when I saw my deer and her family, you know, fighting over this chicken carcass like a pack of wolves fighting over a moose, you know, I'm like, I pretty much came to the conclusion that everything on this planet eats chicken, and they probably eat rabbit, too, if it's available.
Well,
and it's hard to keep them alive. It's a struggle to keep chickens and rabbits free-ranging, keep them alive and multiplying.
Sure. Hey, hang on, folks. We got a little bit break. We'll be right back. Pumpkin Texas Radio.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So here we fight all through the
night. Hey, we're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, Mark in Philadelphia, hold on the line. We're currently talking with Art in Georgia. I want to finish this rabbit trail that we just went down. So, do you feed your rabbits wildlife or just plants, huh? they're not in cages. How do you take care of your rabbits?
Well, here I have a field that's only maybe about 35, 40 yards or so from my front door, and that's where I keep my chickens. There's a little house in there for them, and in the evening time, they follow me right out to the house. There's a little pen attached to it. I throw down some yummy treats for them, just an easy way to get them to come into the cage, and I close the cage, and they're in there with their house, and in the after dark, I go out. They're all up in the house in the roost. I close the door, and they're in for the night. And not even a snake can get into that chicken house. I have made sure this sucker is secure. Nothing gets in when my birds are locked down at night.
Art, that's after learning from a snake being able to get in there. That's after learning when you go in there, and there are like four or five chicks dead and a snake because of snake.
I went in there one day and caught a possum in there with a mouthful of chicken.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, so you critter proof your chicken houses real quick. But I learned very young. I've been doing this most all my life. As far as the rabbits go, I keep two doe and one buck in cages at all times. These are my breeding stock, and they're nice, healthy New Zealands. And I chose New Zealands because a New Zealand will get up 8 to 10 pounds between the right around the age of 6, 8, 10 months old. So you don't have to wait till they're a year to butcher them out. But when they hit, when the babies first are weaned off of mama at about 3 months, they come out of the cage and they go out into the field. Now, again, that field ain't far from the house. But there's like an area where they can go and they're safe at night and they don't have to worry about being anything dinner. But since it's real close to the house, I'm able to basically, and no matter what I'm doing out in the yard, because it's a small 1.13 acre, it's a very small piece of property. So everything is close, everything's compact, and my animals are completely protected at all times. But I have I live out in the country. So I have these fields with tons and tons and tons of wild stuff just growing. And all I do every day, I just go out with a box and I just spend an hour just sitting out there cutting wild, well, maybe a half hour in the morning, a half hour in the evening, and just cutting all kinds of just wild leafy greens. I have wild collards growing out here, lamb's quarters. Just so many different kinds. I bet you I've got 30 or 40 different kinds of wild greens growing out here. Wildflowers, clover, all kinds of different stuff. And they will eat almost any green you put in there for them. Some things they ain't too thrilled about, but, you know, they're going to be a little bit picky. They're going to like certain things over other things. But very seldom do I ever have any leftover in the cage when it comes time for the next feeding. Then I just keep them fresh water all the time. And then, like I said, when the babies are about 3 months old, I'll take them out and put them out in the field. I just put them right on the ground. But as they're growing up, they're used to being handled. So that when you go out in the yard, it's real easy to just walk up and pick one up off the ground.
I don't want to be going out there. Yeah.
No, just walk, reach down and pick them up like you would a cat or a small dog. You just pick them up the same way. And I do that because I raise them up being handled like that so that I don't have to fire a gunshot and scare all my critters when I go to harvest.
And my first rabbit, Pookie, was raised inside with me. He was actually litter box trained, but he would pee poop on my dog's bed. And until I picked him up and made him squeal and squall, he didn't understand the dominance thing. It's like, okay, you got to live in my world. After that, after I made him squeal a little bit, Pookie was a much better rabbit. He didn't do all the wild, crazy stuff.
Hey, thanks for the call, Art. We're going to move on, and we'll be back here in a few minutes, Republic of Texas Radio.
The tree of life is us, my friends.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.